baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home. From the kid from Queens, calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
All right, joining us now for his weekly visit, it is the general manager of the Texas Rangers. How are you doing today, JD?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. We were just having a conversation with the G-Bag Nation, and since it's topical, we just carried it into this thing. We want to bounce ideas off of you. There are players out there who remain free agents, who are big names, who have draft pick compensation attached to them. And my understanding is that after the draft, those players will be free agents that you can just sign for cash money. There's no draft pick compensation attached. And just curiously, wondering if you guys will have any interest in that market, if I painted the picture correctly.
Yeah, I think you have. Obviously referring to Keuchel and Kimbrel, and you're right in that after the draft, then my understanding, the compensation no longer applies. You know, we had stayed out of that for a few reasons, partially big picture, kind of not looking to make those kind of investments this off season, but also the draft pick played a big role in it. We traded Alex Claudio for the comp pick, which can be 41st in the country, and we didn't want to give that up. So that piece will be gone. I do think we'll be open to some additions if it's warranted as we get into the season here. We are looking at some pitching help. I don't expect that we're going to be big players in that area, though, still.
And those guys, you know, the big names, I know you can't talk about specific players, but those big names have been on the couch pretty much all year. You guys have all had discussions about each of these players for the last couple of months, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, and you know, obviously there's some really talented guys out there. Pretty unusual to have them, you know, that caliber out there at this time of year. I think you have to have some question on, you know, what exactly you're getting with not a true spring training, but, you know, mid-season. And, you know, I'm sure guys are throwing sim games and staying engaged, but, you know, there's definitely a difference in the not just the level of competition, but the level of activity and care, I think.
And this really, you talked about the big picture and where you guys are in your process. I mean, for many, many years, you guys were, I think there was almost a decade there where you guys were among the biggest wins. You had among the most wins in Major League Baseball during the regular season for almost a decade. And the Astros were kind of struggling during all that and getting good draft picks and rebuilding. And you guys had swapped a little bit for a time there. And maybe you guys are ahead of pace getting back up there. So in terms of where you are with your picture relative to your payroll, and that's kind of what the G-Bag guys were bringing up, when might the purse strings be loosened up again and you guys might be able to be big-time players out there in free agency?
I think it's all going to be player-specific. You know, I think we're going to have a lot more flexibility the next 2 years than we've had the last couple, last probably three or four, you know, if you're looking at it. But it's going to be player-specific. We're not going to spend just as, say, we spend. If the right guy's there, we're ready to make that investment in, then we'll go. And I do think that, you know, the new ballpark will play into it. And I also think just having a good foundation where we're at right now, you know, we've got some flaws on the club and some things that we'll need to address. But, you know, this isn't a situation where we're tanking and have to look out, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to build it back up again. Like, there's some really good quality players that are going to be here for several years, and we'll have an opportunity to build on that.
Obviously, the baseball draft is much different than the other drafts, and you never want to be picking in the top 10, but it's got to be a little bit exciting having the number 8 pick and looking forward to on Monday, right?
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun. We got 8 overall and then 3 of the top 50. So we'll pick 3 times on the first night. That comp pick, like I said, that we got for Claudio at 41, and been sitting in the draft room here for the last 10 days or so, kind of locked in with Kip and his group. You know, our process has definitely evolved over the years. Kip's been awesome in terms of kind of continuing to add layers to the process, whether that's mental skills and makeup or analytics and R&D side and others. And so it's been fun to be part of. And, you know, at eight, we'll get, you know, we're going to get good players at all three and throughout the draft. But certainly picking in the top 10, you have, you know, access to a different level of talent than when you're picking down below.
Yeah, I was curious about that, like how involved you get in all this stuff. I mean, obviously, you oversee it all, but you've got, like you said, Kip, and there's a lot of different talented people that work in your on your side of the organization. But when it comes down to the number eight pick, that's such a high pick, do you get even more involved in a situation like that?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not going out there and seeing all the guys. I've seen a couple, but I'm not going out there and seeing all the guys. Ultimately, I almost think that can be more of a negative than a positive. You get one quick look at somebody and think you're going to weigh in. I mean, my involvement is you know, very supportive, making sure we have the resources we need, kind of more on the philosophical, big picture direction, and challenging guys with questions. And then I think as we get down to it, kind of strategy and risk management too, you know, just in talking through the types of players that we're interested in and asking questions. You know, our evaluators or scouts are, you know, their job is to go out. We want guys that like players. We want guys that want players and kind of see the good in players. And sometimes when, you know, you're living in that arena, you know, 24/7, you need kind of the counterbalance a little bit and somebody ask the questions and you know, have the guys in the room doing the kind of contextual research to say, like, you know, this universe of players is a little more, bit more risky. Why is this player an outlier? Why is this player going to, you know, kind of beat the odds, so to speak? So I enjoy that part of it.
When I think about this team, John, I think first I see a fun group of guys to watch, and it's been a very intriguing season. There's been clutch wins and thrilling moments, and there's been some, you know, gut punch losses as well. And I couldn't help but think about a couple of years, and I want to just kind of run this by you. Does this year kind of remind you of 2008? And when you guys kind of hung in there and just kind of, you know, you got through the first 4 months, maybe you weren't ready at the time to go, and I know you're not saying that about this team now, or like even the 2015, this team kind of reminds me of those 2 years where you were coming off a transition year. Or do you kind of see those similarities?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think those are good points. I think in 2008 we had, you know, kind of some similarities where we had a prolific offense, but we, you know, really struggled to prevent runs. But you can kind of see the core of that team coming together, along with, you know, we had some good veteran additions that year. You know, obviously Milton Bradley's had a lot of off-field kind of issues and ugliness since then, but he was a, you know, big-time force for us that year. And you saw that in the following year. We really didn't make a ton of outside additions. We brought up Elvis and Mike Maddox joined the club and obviously kind of like launched us towards the next, whatever it was, 8-9 years. And I think in 15, coming off the down year, there were no real expectations. But one thing you saw, very similar to what you're seeing this year, was like we were in every game. I remember sitting there in July. We were in every game. These guys were fighting. We were 7-8 games back. But I remember, you know, we all kind of felt like there was the makings of a good team there. And we didn't want to give up on them. And we weren't going to do anything kind of short-term rental. But we, you know, we felt like it was the time to kind of add some pieces for the next 2-3 years. And obviously we made the deals we made and the team responded. So, yeah, I definitely do see some similarities there.
You know, one of the things we always talk to you about is your patience. I mean, you have patience for days, and I tend to overreact to just about everything. And so I give up on a guy quickly, and then I say, no, he's back. He's the best that's ever played, really quickly, and you're very even-keeled. And that's important because look at Joey Gallo. Just the way that he is playing this year on it, you know, he's an MVP candidate. And I know you have a couple other young players that have had ups and downs. Mazzara is a guy who's really turned things around here midseason, and I just wonder if that patience is what comes into play when you look at Odor, because obviously what Gallo's done and then now Mazzara, and you've seen Odor do it and turn it on and be one of the best offensive players in the game. So where are you with regard to that patience and Rougned Odor?
I think there is definitely still patience for sure. I think that's like kind of the, you know, when Woody put it well, I think a week or two ago, when you see the guys putting in the work and the right mentality's there and you know the talent's there and the intent's there, it, it makes it easier. I do think with Rugi that there is a level of concern. In large part because this is not the first time it's happened, not the first year. It's, you know, and you don't want to make a habit of kind of getting into these holes and having to put a program together to get out of it. You know, Rugi's got 5 years in the league right now. He cares a ton. He works hard. You know, it's just we've got to. You know, there's got to be a sense of urgency on our part, and I believe that there is to, you know, kind of help him break out of this because he's too good of a player to be performing at this level.
Yeah, it seems like every time he's about to snap out of it, like, for instance, yesterday, taking a walk, you know, late in that game, just to get a huge
play, huge at bat.
Huge crucial moment, and you go, I think Rugi's about to get out of it, and he just kind of comes back down to earth. JD, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Really appreciate it. I don't know why I'm taking it out, though. Ben should be the one doing that.
No, you're doing fine.
I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. We've been on the sidelines.
It's kind of refreshing. I thought it was much better than what I've been doing.
Not quite.
Takes patience, JD. Just hang in there with me. I know it's your way. Hey, thank you for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.